Good Day Health Show on the air with Dr. Ken Kronhaus. We're going to go through, as we usually do, and not necessarily quickly, because there's a lot of information here that is pertinent. All right, so Ken, who is a noted cardiologist practicing in Mount Dora, Florida, at his clinic, Lake Cardiology, does lots of burning. When I was there last week, Ken had a hard time getting out of the office to make dinner at 8:30. He starts in the morning at 8 and goes through, and many times you'll find him burning the midnight oil, trying to keep up with all the records and things that he needs to with all of his patients coming in and out of there, all of them with cardiovascular problems, heart disease, those sorts of things. And unfortunately, with the way things are, your business is not off, is it? You get more and more people all the time coming to you. Is it the same basic problem all the time, or do you find sometimes you're challenged and it becomes interesting because someone comes to you with an unusual problem that's not readily, I don't mean it's not readily fixable, but you have to really work at it to figure out what's going on and how to fix it?
Well, a wide variety. You know, as a cardiology consultant, I'm often asked to see people who have been to other doctors and do not yet have a diagnosis or looking for other treatments. But also, we see a wide variety of the common killer of Americans, which is blockages in the circulation to the heart, coronary artery disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is there's improvement being made. But people are their own worst enemy. I think we find that out, don't we, Ken, in looking at these studies and thinking about
people? Well, lifestyle is huge in heart disease. And, you know, I've told you 80% of heart disease could be prevented by practicing a good lifestyle.
All right. So here's a study out this week. Ken goes through all of the association journals to come up with information that will help you out. So pay attention if you're on a weight loss program to this study. Low-fat, low-carb diets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's the best way to lose weight? You can maybe give us a conclusion after you tell us about the study.
Sure. This talks about a long-term controversy about which diet is best for losing weight. This is published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association. When it comes to shedding pounds, the debate has raged about whether low-carb diets are better than low-fat ones, but new research finds little difference between the two. So it's not so much which diet you eat, it's how many calories you take in for your goal target weight and that you get adequate nutrients. And then you go and exercise after the doctor says it's okay. So you really need to count the calories, and it doesn't matter which way you get them. I prefer personally the Mediterranean diet, and that's what I eat. And then I figure out how many calories I need to consume based on how active I am for that day and based on my target weight.
All right, so Mediterranean diet, again, fish and greens, that sort of thing, right? Isn't it the
exactly
basic staple?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy products, beans, seeds, nuts. You add some fish and turkey, chicken and veal, and you have a wonderful diet.
You know, I have a penchant for nuts. I like cashews. I like peanuts. I like pistachios. I like almonds, and I mix them all up. I have pumpkin seeds and that sort of stuff, and I have this big bowl that I put all of these things in, and I get to grab a handful when I'm hungry. But if I don't eat, like today, I have not had time really to eat. I've been busy all morning, and so I grab a couple of handfuls. But I notice, because I was off when you saw me, I was down about 9 pounds from where you'd seen me last year. And now I've noticed in the last, because I've been back on the farm for 4 or 5 days, and I've, you know, I'm not eating, because I think if I don't eat and I drink that, you know, a lot of water and the things that I mix in it, like lemon juice and honey and stuff, that I'll continue to lose weight. But it's right there, that bowl.
Yeah,
I grab a handful of those, and I think I've gone back up a little bit, Frank.
Right. Nuts are really good if you can only eat one handful a day. Right. I can't.
I can't either. Yeah.
And that's the problem. And there's a lot of calories, and there's fat in them. And there's mostly good fat, but a lot of calories. So you have to have only one handful a day.
Yep. All right. So I need some. What I need, Ken, is more of what you have. Self-control. I've never been big in that department. All right, so we have these. There are a lot of different things that have been studied this week. Again, a lot of benefit you will find as you listen through to this hour. You get a lot of benefit from Ken's research, and we get to that as we continue here. Speaking of benefits, for those of you who want to keep your immune system functioning at its best, Balance of Nature provides you with that opportunity because they have produced a capsule, actually two capsules, one that has about 11 fruits in it and another that has about 11 or 12 vegetables in it. These are powdered fruits, no sugar, nothing, no added. It's pure fruit and vegetable. Now, Ken will tell you correctly, as he just did, you need to eat more fruits and vegetables, like eat the real thing. But none of us have that many fruits a day. Maybe me, I'm the only one who does it. And I don't mean that as here I am, Mr. Wonderful. I do try to have a lot of fruits now. I'm sticking to berries. I'm not on the melons anymore because those apparently are high in sugar and a lot of citrus, that sort of thing. And then the veggies, a lot of green vegetables. I find I like the green vegetables. And so the veggie capsules are green, and the fruit capsules are pinkish in color. You can open them up, put them on other fruit, open the vegetables up, put it on your food, you're having a dinner, whatever it is. Get two of these into your system every day, two in the morning, one of each, and one of each in the evening, and you will find your immune system is going to be helped greatly. That's according to the research done. They also provide you with a health coach at balanceofnature.com, so you can ask questions about your diet. Get more info. Ask about Ken's diet and see if they give you a little bit more information so you can plan your meals accordingly. All of this, the information and the help to enhance your immune system, is there at one place, balanceofnature.com. Make sure you use the code DJV. You'll get the first month supply free using the code DJV. Also, there are other special discounts. Use the code DJV when you go to balanceofnature.com. I'm Doug Steffen with Dr. Ken Kronos. We're going through his research this week, the things that he's found that will help you understand maybe some things that are going on in your body. You're welcome to send questions along to me, Twitter, at Doug Steffen, or to Doug@DougSteffen.com. Once in a while, we do have time. I don't want to discourage you from sending the questions along. We have time when we can get to it, but I like to have Ken explain a lot of these things that are going on that are making the medical news. For example, I said to you off the air, this sort of sounded like an oxymoron to me. Such a thing as an herbal drug. What is this herbal drug that's new on the market?
The popular botanical drug kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M, is already under fire from American health officials as an addictive opioid, Doug. And now new reports are linking its use with salmonella poisoning. The CDC, they're investigating a multi-state outbreak of 28 salmonella infections in 20 states linked to kratom use. So if you have this, don't use it. Stay away from it. Now you have another good reason to avoid it.
Is that the trade name? How do you reckon? Do you actually, is it called Kratom, kratom? Is that what you would see? If you went to the Whole Foods store and you went to the section where they have all of the various supplements,
that's what you
would see this in a bottle.
Correct.
And the salmonella, so that must mean they had a problem as they were making it. They got the salmonella stuff wouldn't come about as a result after it was produced. It would come as a result.
It's a tropical tree. It's native to Southeast Asia. And leaves contain psychoactive or mind-altering opioid compounds.
So what would you use it for?
What would you use it for? People use it like they
marijuana,
do an opioid.
Really?
Or to
So this is not something... Well, so I'm sort of confused. Is it legal or illegal? Is it a legal herbal drug that has those consequences?
That exactly. It falls out of the reach of the FDA, but everyone's recommending to avoid it.
Not because of what it does, but because of the salmonella.
But another good reason. I mean, it had been already on the CDC's radar screen and the FDA's radar screen, you know, figuring out how to get it illegal. And now it has another problem.
Well, but there are a lot of these guys, these characters in the FDA and the CDC that are trying to make things illegal that ought not to be, because they're trying to take care of the people that pay the bills or pay for the bought and paid for congressmen. So I'm not impressed by that, but I am interested in what you said about it. Kratom. Next, cigars, pipes. Some people think, I don't know who the hell thinks this, but wherever it came from, cigarettes are dangerous. We know about that. And some people say, oh, I'll smoke a cigar because that's a lot of women are now smoking cigars. Ugh, God, it's gross.
Even well, I hear that once a week. I heard it
really?
Yesterday
cigars
from a patient.
And pipes are better than, really.
I heard it from a patient. I gave up the cigarettes, and I'm smoking a cigar a day, and so I'm doing better. I heard a patient say that.
Yeah, and you told them what?
Well, I told them that it would be
best.
Get your
head out of the sand, Jeff.
I told them that please don't believe what you're telling me. It would be best to get off of all of it. And now we have a good study supporting that. This came out of the JAMA Internal Medicine this week, that combustible tobacco used in any form is a cancer risk, and pipe and cigar smokers cannot be given a pass. The good news, Doug, is that the risk of death from any cause or tobacco-linked cancers fell once smokers quit.
Just quit. Don't have to have something in your mouth unless there's something wrong with you psychologically. That's all smoking cigarettes and cigars. Sticking something in your mouth most of the time starts with people who haven't been breastfed. That's my, I don't have any research. I have absolutely no research to back that up. However, it makes sense to me, and whether it does to you can or not. I mean, you can understand my thinking, right? You know, that's all. It's all about sucking.
Find something else to love, I guess.
There you go. All right, so that's no big news there. It's all bad for you. So, and then, but they didn't put into that these electric smoke puffer things. Those are no good for you either.
No,
right? No. Okay. Here's something. That is really, I think, on the top of my mind this week, the research on cleaning sprays and the fact that women more than men, maybe this proves that women do more cleaning than men do, get long-term lung damage. And if you're not a smoker, it doesn't make any difference around this stuff, right?
Yes, this is important. This is out of the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine. And the results of this study simply was that women who work as cleaners or who regularly clean, Doug, the family home using cleaning sprays or other products, they have a greater decline in lung health over time than women who do not clean. So the take home from this is that if you do regular cleaning with these cleaning sprays or other products, maybe use a mask and just make sure you have adequate ventilation when you're doing it.
Adequate ventilation. This time of year, winter areas, or even where it's hot like in Florida, keep the windows open when you use this stuff. Is there a product or a line of products that you can buy and use to clean that will not have this impact? You know, again, I'm not doing commercials for Whole Foods, but there are the natural, you can find these in lots of different places now, the specialized field of natural cleaners. One wonders if you use those, do you avoid this lung damage we're talking about?
Well, stay tuned. They confirm those ideas through studies, but certainly, again, we're not doing a commercial for Whole Foods, but if you wander through Whole Foods, certainly there are a lot of products that are advocating exactly what you're describing.
Yeah, and it's much better for you. That's what I have in my home, frankly. Dr. Ken runs Lake Cardiology down in Mondora, Florida. Those of you who are in the area that want good second, what's that? Hello, anybody home? I was almost going to say, you want a second-hand opinion. No, you want a second opinion. You go to Ken if you're upset. You're not getting answers. He is he's just so convivial, so helpful, so smart. You'll love going to visit with him. So don't feel bashful or shy. Call the office if you want to go down there and check him out. Work around whatever your schedule may be. 352-735-1400 is the number at Lake Cardiology for Dr. Ken. 352-735-1400. I heard a blip there. 352-735-1400. Check with Dr. Ken. Here's some good medical news about music and exercising, Ken.
It sure is. And, you know, we're all trying to get into the gym, and here's a way to make it a little more pleasurable. This is out of Psychology of Sport and Exercise just this week. It's a new study, and it may have found a way to make exercise more fun. Put on your favorite tune is the answer to, from this study. Listening to music during a workout, it does not increase focus on the task at hand, but it does make exercise much more enjoyable.
Right. It makes sense. All kinds of music. We find if you're having yoga, you use a certain kind of music, the wave, right? Those FM stations
that play whatever you personally
jazz.
Enjoy.
Yeah, but a lot of people that want to jump around on the floor in the gym that I go to, the Y in Santa Monica, they just have a moldy, oldie, goody goldies from their rusty rack of wrinkled records.
Wow.
I could do the intro to all of them myself. But music is good. You make exercise. I have found, and by the way, this comes completely from the thoughts or things department. If you think exercise is a drag, which is basically my mantra, I have not, for the most part, found exercise to be challenging or fun. Ken loves it. And so when you get, I've started going to there's a new Y in Santa Monica that I've gone to. And it's bright and all the equipment is new. And I found myself, and I'm using the equipment that I like to use, which the other gym didn't have. So I'm finding that I am looking forward to it. And the time seems to go faster. And maybe you're getting more out of the workout.
Absolutely. Walk around the gym, find the equipment that you particularly like. If you don't know how to use it, ask someone. There's always people right. around in a good gym that are more than happy to show you how to use it. And some people feel better on some equipment, and you'll especially the aerobic equipment. Find something that you especially enjoy. And if you don't like the music that they're piping into your gym, then, just wear a little band around your arm or hide it somewhere. Get your phone with some apps and plug it right into your ear.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Good advice. Okay, so exercise. We all know how that works. Number 89 on this list of things that Ken has studied this week. We continually discuss the flu shot. This year, it is a tough year for the flu. No question about it. More people and younger people and more women have died. And so this focus on this particular study is about women who are pregnant and whether or not they should get, because that's a question you get a lot. I'm a pregnant woman. Do I get a flu shot?
Exactly. And this is some good news. And it just came out this week in the medical journal Pediatrics. This good news is for expecting moms who are trying to weather a brutal flu season, and that's this year. This new study shows that getting the flu vaccine during pregnancy causes no harm to the newborns. So, mom, don't be afraid of it. If you haven't gotten it yet, please get it.
Get your flu shot. Doesn't make any difference whether you're pregnant or not. Doesn't make any difference what age you are. Ken advises a flu shot.
It seems to have leveled off the flu, but it has certainly not gone away.
Yeah. I don't have one, have never had one. It's one of the places that we disagree. I just don't feel like they serve a purpose for me anyway. But that doesn't mean that what I say should rule what you do. Happens to be my experience, happens to be what my thinking is. Ken and I get along fabulously well. One of the reasons we're great friends is because we don't always agree. Why would you? What kind of a friendship?
That's pretty boring.
Depends on. Yeah, it sure is. Right. Who needs that? All right. Here's another one. Alcohol use and what it means. This is also very important for those of you. I don't know if there'll be a study on marijuana that'll be like this, but those of you who like schnapps, you better listen to this.
Exactly. And I hope the marijuana study is ongoing. I know it is, and maybe we'll have the results soon. But this is alcohol this week. This comes out of the medical journal Lancet Public Health. Excess alcohol use is a major risk factor for all types of dementia, Doug. So what is dementia? It's characterized by a steady cognitive decline. That means in your ability to think and remember. And it affects, amazingly, 5 to 7% of those over age 60. And this makes it a leading cause of disability. Though there are a number of dementia types, including Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common form, progressive damage to the brain, Doug. It features in all of these dementias. However, the cause of the damage can vary, and that's why you get all these different types. You know, you often wonder about why is it Alzheimer's? It's because how you get the damage specific to the one of the more common types of dementias, Alzheimer's dementia. So there are certain risk factors that we know about, and it's aging, smoking, and depression are already known, but the role of alcohol has often been proven difficult to pin down. You know, does it have an effect? Doesn't it? Well, some studies have concluded that light drinking may have a protective effect against dementia. Conversely, moderate alcohol use appears to have a detrimental impact on brain structure and may therefore increase dementia risk. But the news this week, without any doubt, is that heavy drinking is more robustly linked to an increased risk of dementia. So if you're going to drink, you know, just do it in a limited manner.
Yeah. Well, there are those doctors who say having one drink a day is good. Some people say women ought to have a couple of glasses of wine.
Women should have 0 to 1 per day. Men, no more than 1 to 2. You know, have a glass of wine occasionally, but you know that's okay. But
I don't think I've ever seen you have a glass of wine. You've never seen me have one. Have you ever had one?
Of course.
Me? I don't remember. Have you? You do? Oh, really?
We have to go out more socially.
Yes, sure.
I guess you're not drinking, so I think the reason...
The problem with you is you stay up and stay out too late. I can't have dinner at 8:30.
Right, you have to get up to do early morning radio.
Yeah, I can't be doing
that. So I don't want to have a glass of wine if you're not.
No, all right. Well, that's very polite of you. Thank you. So the bottom line here is my prejudice comes from the experience I had in my family. My mother, I don't mind admitting, was a wild alcoholic. She didn't, you know, she, whatever her system was, it grabbed a hold of her and never let go.
That's the amazing thing is, you know, if I don't go out to a nice dinner in a setting with people that I really enjoy and are having wine, I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And that's the way alcohol should be.
What I think about it is I don't want anything to do with it. I don't like being around people who are drinking more often than not. They can't handle the alcohol. If you've had one glass, I mean, I go to dinner with somebody that I love or somebody who's a friend or whatever, my children, my daughter will have a glass of wine. My son doesn't drink. I don't drink. But
your son drinks zero?
Doesn't drink at all. Nope. He went through it, had a stage when he was a kid and swore off of it.
Well, then that's good.
Drink at all.
I've never had an issue with it. I don't even think about it unless I'm out to dinner.
Yeah. Well, my son is in drug and alcohol. Rehab counselor.
Exactly.
And because he understands from whence it comes through his own experience, and he'll tell you that. Especially when it comes to drinking, he couldn't handle it at all. And frankly, I can't handle it. He gets that gene from me.
Good.
If I have a glass of wine, I am either really, really sullen and nasty, or I get extraordinarily silly.
Okay,
I've been known to get up on a table when I had...
On one glass?
One glass.
Wow.
I remember doing a test on the... I did afternoons in Cincinnati back in the 80s, WCKY.
Uh-huh.
And one day, it was before Labor Day, it seems to me, the fellow from the local AAA came in with a six-pack of beer.
Uh-huh.
And he said, okay, we're going to do this on the air. You're going to drink, and I'm going to test you to see at what point you get to the legal limit of, you know, what is it, 0.8 or something. So I said, okay.
And he smells.
The beer was awful. And I drank it, and I only got through 3/4 of the bottle.
Wow.
He kept testing me. And I was loopy then, and my level had gone up.
Well,
apparently my system can't take it, which, thank heavens, is a good thing.
The good news
is
we know you're not an alcoholic, if that's what's happening.
Yeah, right. I've had addictions to a few things in my life, but that's not one of them, thank heavens. Okay, we spent all these times, all these hours, Good Day Health hours, talking about your health. There is no question from either of my two experts, whether it be Ken Kronhaus or Jack Stockwell, that you need omega-3s. The question sometimes comes on what form of omega-3 you ought to take. Fish oil? Because krill oil now is identified as an omega as well. So as doctors debate this, there's a new solution, so there doesn't have to be any debate anymore. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. Comes from Purity Products. I take it every day. As a matter of fact, I've been taking them in the morning and at night. satisfies two things you need for fish oil. Ken knows we need it. He says, eat a lot of fish. I eat a lot of fish and I take the fish oil. And I think that's one of the reasons my cardiovascular system is in as good shape. You know where my blood pressure is. I'm happy to have you tell people the story of what you found at the exam. And I think it comes from eating fish and taking things like this Krill Omega 50 Plus, right? Is that why I have such a strong cardiovascular system?
Well, it's the whole package. You just practice a very good lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, this Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10 certainly doesn't hurt, I'll tell you that. Very powerful in the cardiovascular area, great boosting your joint comfort, and it works quickly. So if you would like to see what a 30-day supply does for you, and this is on Purity, they're going to not charge you. You have to pay for the shipping, a couple of bucks for that. Call 800-355-1493 and get in on this opportunity to put this stuff in your body so you see what it does. 800-355-1493. That's 800-355-1493. All right, so I'm looking at a website that's right up your alley, the 30 Worst Foods for Your Heart. This is one of those sites. Victoria Keelan on my staff refers to it as clickbait. So what they're proposing here when they scare you about how you can die from heart disease, you got to eat the right stuff. And the first thing has a picture of pineapple with cottage cheese. There's something I can't imagine that is bad for you. Salt is bad.
Only if it's very high fat cottage cheese.
Really?
But low fat cottage cheese is good for you.
Certain
pineapple,
vegetables,
excellent.
Canned vegetables. Do not eat canned vegetables. Not anymore, for all kinds of reasons. I like beans, frankly, but I don't eat them anymore because I don't want to eat them out of the can.
Well, you can get fresh beans in the package.
Yeah, but how do you cook them?
How do you cook them? You just steam them.
Oh, all right. Oh, to come to your house and you can steam them.
Yes, I'm good at
cold
steaming
cuts.
Beans.
All the stuff
cold
that's
cuts
in
are bad.
Preservatives.
That's a treat. That's bad.
Yeah, don't be doing that. Tomato sauce has all kinds of things in it. Frozen meals also. You're not supposed to eat frozen meals. I have done that in the past. Maybe I got to stop doing that. The idea of enhancing your immune system, we talk about this all the time, which you can do by using Balance of Nature products. They're fruits and they're veggies encapsulated. Really a cool product. Actually, I saw something yesterday that made me think about this. You can, if you've got itchy, sore, or scratchy throat, Ken, they suggest that you open up 3 or 4 veggie capsules, put it in a cup of warm broth, stir it up and drink it, and it'll take care of the sore throat. Isn't that an interesting reality? It makes sense if you have all those concentrated elements in there. And you take it like anything else when you're trying to get rid of a sore throat. I know what I've been doing. You and I think talked about this. The lemon and honey and apple cider vinegar that I've taken, which also it's not traditional and not necessarily what you would. you're not necessarily going to recommend that, but I think it's any of these things that you don't have to take drugs for if you can get rid of it. I think we all prefer not to use drugs, right?
Whenever possible.
Okay, whenever possible. Good. I saw something that is new to the world of studies, the overview of diagnostics and new drugs and that sort of thing. Last year, cancer killed 8 million people, second only to heart disease, I guess, right? Heart disease is the big killer. And the idea of catching cancers early and treating them effectively. I have a friend who's going through this. You and I have talked about him. And he's tried every available treatment, and he knocks it back, but they don't get rid of it. And so this is considered one of the strongest kinds of cancers that resist all of the drugs that are out there, all of the treatment. So you wonder, there's a study from Harvard that's out this week focusing on pancreatic cancer, which is the worst of all of them, isn't it? Once you get it, man, you're done.
It's very fast growing. The problem is that we diagnose pancreatic cancer way too late. And if we had some tool to get there early, that would help.
So when you look at, for example, my blood work, can you tell yes or no anybody's blood work, whether there's cancer cells fiddling around in their system? What do you look at?
I mean, that's been the goal for decades, is to find a single blood test that will diagnose all of it. We're almost there, but not yet.
Not quite. Yeah. Okay. All right. One of the things this week, you're a cardiologist.
I am.
So I look at this, the sleep disorder study linking breathing to cardiovascular problems. Can you give us a little more specific info on that? What is the what does the study show?
More information from the European Society of Cardiology Heart Failure Journal this week, how important sleep is, especially for the heart. The development, Doug, of heart failure is linked to severe sleep-disordered breathing, but treatment may minimize the risk. That's the good news. The severity of sleep-disordered breathing affects the stiffening of the arteries' walls. That's why you get high blood pressure. That's why you get heart failure. So using continuous positive airway pressure, or CPAP, devices to treat obstructive sleep apnea and other sleep-related breathing abnormalities can fix this.
What about your veins and arteries and keeping them soft and flexible and pliable? We've talked about products over the years that have done that. Whether EECP does it or whether vitamin K does it, but there is now more of a focus on keeping the arteries especially supple. How do you do that? What do you prescribe?
You keep your blood pressure under control, your cholesterol, your blood sugar, and your weight, and you don't smoke. Those are the simple, easy ways to do it.
Hardening of the arteries, those sorts of things, all of the above.
Yeah. And mental stress also, and get enough sleep, 7 to 8 hours, and watch the alcohol. Don't overdo it.
So if you are at that point and you don't want to take drugs, is vitamin K or that sort of thing good for, or fish oil or any of those things good for smoothing?
Well, that's all about diet. You know, I would eat a healthy Mediterranean diet with all the nutrients and the calories that will keep you at ideal body weight and exercise.
Yeah, exercise is good for it, as we've all found. I was talking to Dorothy Hamill earlier about what her exercise routine is and the sorts of things that she does. And she,
well, that must be great.
Former Olympian, you know, yes. You got to, no matter what your age, we say this all the time, your age, my age, anybody, you got to exercise. You got to keep your body in shape. Otherwise, it will literally, before your very eyes, fall apart. So take Ken's advice. Dr. Ken Kronhaus here.